You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Wednesday, September 23rd, 2020. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Today's episode is brought to you by NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Today we do our weekly mailbag show. I think this week a new record was set for most mailbag questions submitted. I don't think I'm going to have time to get to all of them, but if your question does go unanswered, please feel free to resend it for a future show. I'm going to get to as many as I can today. Our first question comes from Tom. It seems like when there should be a shakeup with the roster or coaches, the owners just turn their heads away and act like nothing is wrong. Fans can try to force a management to replace a head coach or a general manager like the Fire Idzik billboards back in 2014, but how can fans get ownership to change? Well, I'm not sure I'm going to have an answer that's going to satisfy anybody, because there's really only one thing owners typically pay attention to, and it's kind of off the table this year, and that's not going to the games. And this year, you can't go to the games anyway, so there's no real way to send your message. I know people come up with their ways. They go on internet forums, such as ones that I operate. They use talk radio. We've seen the Fire Idzik billboards in 2014. Last year, they flew the plane over the city with the Fire Adam Gase banner. And I'm not sure that any of that works. I think, ultimately, it's not going to the games that draws owners' attention. And sometimes not even then. Ultimately, the owner just needs to realize that they're doing something wrong and make changes. And maybe not going to the games helps draw attention, and maybe it does. Maybe it kind of leads the owner to the path to realize that they need to do things differently. But again, that's not really an option this year, and there's no guarantee it actually works. And I think that this is actually one of the biggest problems in the NFL, is these owners are so out of touch, and there's never any consequences for them. These guys can mess up. It's one of the truest statements I've heard, is that you can fire a bad coach, you can replace a bad general manager, but you're stuck with a bad owner. There's nothing you can do. And I wish there was some sort of mechanism in the NFL that actually held these owners accountable. Maybe if there was like a referendum each year, a vote of no confidence, that it's a certain threshold the owner would have to sell the team. Now, you would not want a situation where a successful owner gets run out of town because you have one bad year. Maybe there's a bunch of injuries and there's a knee-jerk reaction and everybody runs the owner out of town. But I wish there was some sort of mechanism. Maybe like there was a yearly vote, and if like you failed 5 straight years, you have to sell the team, because there's an endless supply of rich people who would love to be NFL owners. That's not the issue. So I wish that there was some. I just think the fan experience would be better. You would not be dealing with the ridiculous ticket prices. They would have to take steps to accommodate fans, and it's unfortunate that that's not the case. And that's never going to be the case, because it's not in Christopher Johnson's or Woody Johnson's best interest to try and make something like that happen. They love owning the team, and the owners ultimately make the rules. Roger Goodell works for them. So I'm sure this is not the answer you wanted to hear. There's really nothing you can do at this point in time. You just need to hope that they figure it out. You hope that the losing, the incompetence, embarrasses the ridiculous nature of this team right now, embarrasses them into understanding that what they're doing is not sustainable if they ever want to be a winner. Next question. In your opinion, when will Joe Douglas be fair game for roster inadequacies? He's made some questionable moves, and it seems very few are addressing it, like letting Robbie Anderson go, Breshad Perriman, Josh Doctson, failing to move for quality receivers to help with Darnold's development, and drafting so many players with apparent durability issues. He'll be fair game, I would say, 2 to 3 years, because I think that's when he will have had a full cycle where the players he drafted will have developed, where he will have had enough time to turn over the roster. Look, it's fair to say that Joe Douglas's free agent signings have not worked out for the most part so far, but what does that really mean? At this point in Mike Maccagnan's tenure, any general manager's tenure, really all you can do is evaluate their early free agent signings. And at this point in Mike Maccagnan's tenure, everybody thought he was great because his free agent signings were all doing pretty well. So, yeah, maybe Joe Douglas hasn't done a great job so far, but it really doesn't mean anything. As far as it's all about the long term. It's about the players he drafted. You can say durability issues, but we're 2 games into the careers of his rookie class. And by the way, the Jets have had lots of injury issues outside of the players they drafted, which makes you wonder whether this is a wider scale issue. He's got to have, I'd say, 2 to 3 years from now, because then his draft classes will have matured to the point where they should be producing. You will have had a couple of cycles to bring in free agents. You have to remember, last year the Jets were really kind of limited in what they could do. When you go on a spending spree the way the Jets did in 2019, there are consequences for it. So you need to understand that when you go on a spending spree 1 year, the next year you're going to be more limited. And that's what happened with the Jets. They did not have the same level of cap space that you needed to totally overturn the roster. You did not have the cash flow, because there's a certain percentage of guaranteed money that needs to go into an escrow account. And there were reports about how Douglas was limited by ownership on how much he could spend because of cash flow issues. And it was painted as this nefarious thing. Well, it really wasn't. It's just, again, at some point, when you go on a spending spree like that, it ties up money, like the Jets did Mike Maccagnan's last year. So, yeah, I mean, Douglas's signings have not worked out. There's no question about that. And if you want to say that his early signings have been bad, that's fine. But if we're talking about whether Joe Douglas is the man for the job, I think it's too early to say no based on that, because his job's just begun. You know, he inherited a mess. And if there will be a point in time where Joe Douglas will be accountable if the Jets are not playing well. And I think I would like to see some significant improvement. I think the tools are all there with a good 2021 offseason. Everything's in place to have significant improvement, but I don't think it was realistic to see a vast improvement on the roster this year. And in fact, if there was a vast improvement, it probably is a sign Douglas was being short-sighted, because the only way to make the Jets significantly better this year probably would have come at the expense of future years. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all of the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place where you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Locked On Jets podcast here on a Mailbag Wednesday. Next question. If the Jets end up with the number one overall pick, can they trade Sam Darnold to New Orleans, Indianapolis, or Pittsburgh for a first-round pick? And would you rather draft Trevor Lawrence and trade Sam, or keep Sam and trade down? I don't think there's any chance the Jets would get a first-round pick for Sam Darnold. I think right now Sam Darnold is a mystery. And after 2020, he's really only got one cheap year left on his rookie contract. So you're trading for a mystery who's about to become expensive. That's not something you're going to get a first-round pick for. I would be very surprised if the Jets could get a first-round pick for Sam Darnold. In fact, if Sam Darnold's worth a first-round pick after this year, that shows you he had a great last 14 games, in which case the Jets are not going to have the number one overall pick, and they're not going to draft Trevor Lawrence. Just think back to the last year. The Cardinals traded Josh Rosen after 1 year and only got a second-round pick in return. And Rosen still had three cheap years left on his contract, and he was only a year removed from the draft. Now with Sam Darnold, you have years in the NFL, and you can't really say he's the guy at this point. So I don't think he has anywhere near the value of a first-round pick right now. Now, as far as whether I would take Lawrence or I would keep Sam and trade down, I think, first of all, it's probably too early for me to give a definitive answer on that. But since you asked, I'm not sure I would do either. I think what I would do is I'd do a combination of those things. I might draft Lawrence and keep Darnold for another year because, again, he is kind of a mystery, and the Jets have not really put the tools around him to tell us what he is. But so I think you kind of have to hedge your bets here right now. I don't really want to give up on him just yet because, you know, there's some untapped potential, but I also am not sure I want to put all my eggs in his basket. So I think what I might do is something like that, draft Lawrence and keep Sam for a year, and, you know, the better player in training camp wins the job. And there actually is kind of a historical comparison for this. If you go back to 2004, and people won't believe this, but Drew Brees got off to a really rocky start in his career. And it was to the point that the Chargers drafted Philip Rivers. And in 2004, the year the Chargers drafted Rivers, Breeze had a big year. In fact, Rivers, if Philip Rivers had not held out of his rookie training camp his rookie year, Drew Brees, who knows how Drew Brees' career turns out? Because that was a big reason Drew Brees won the starting job in 2004 was because Philip Rivers held out of training camp. The Chargers drafted Rivers to replace him, and Rivers held out, so Brees ended up getting the starting job and having a big year for the Chargers. And people look at that and they say, well, you don't want a situation like, why would you not want a situation like that? It's a pretty good situation if you have two young quarterbacks who can both play. That would be tremendous if Darnold ended up being good and you had Trevor Lawrence. And yes, eventually you'd have to pick one. You'd have to pick one over the other within a year or two. But I never understand why teams put all of their eggs in one basket with a quarterback. I think it's the most difficult position to project in the NFL, and it's the most important. And for whatever reason, teams just put it all on one quarterback. I always think of it this way. Would you ever put your retirement money all into one stock? If you were an investor, would you ever put all of your money into one stock? Of course you would not, because who knows what so that company could have a bad year. The company could go out of business. You'd never do that. So I never understood why teams do that with the quarterbacks. So I don't think that you necessarily need to trade Sam Darnold if you draft Lawrence. And I don't necessarily think you need to pass on Lawrence if you decide to keep Darnold. For someone who's accustomed to being disappointed by the Jets, this season has far exceeded my low expectations. When Sam Ficken is your team MVP so far, that says it all. I don't know how Gase could survive this, so a question for you about the process of replacing him. The difference between good teams and bad teams in this league is good management and good coaches. How can the Jets expect to get a high-level coach when the franchise is in disarray, lacking talent, has absentee ownership, and next year will be on its third coach in four seasons? They do, however, have some modest things to offer. What people perceive as a good general manager, a few good young players, a passionate fan base, a good cap situation, draft capital, and the largest metropolitan area/media market in the country. My question is this. If there's a proven, strong NFL coach out there who can be had, but is at the end of the line at his current city, like Andy Reid was in Philadelphia and Sean Payton almost was in New Orleans, would you advocate giving up some of our acquired draft capital to acquire his services? I'm fearful of the grab the hot coordinator or get the college coach who needs to learn the NFL game routes. Its success percentage seems so low. Yeah, that's an interesting question. That question was from Jim. It's a really good question. And my answer in general is if you could get a coach of that stature, yes. But I don't know who that coach would be. I think I would, because as Jim mentioned, it's so difficult to find a quality coach. And it's really difficult, as Jim mentioned, to predict which coordinators are going to be good. Now, I guess Eric Bieniemy is the quote-unquote hot coordinator for 2020, and everybody's going to want him, but we don't really know how good he's going to be as a head coach. Every year, there's some guy who, the media tells you how amazing it is that this guy's never been hired as a head coach, and sometimes they're successful, but sometimes they're not. So I'm not sure who this coach would be, and I'm kind of skeptical this coach exists, but if you can get somebody who's proven in this league, because again, it's really difficult when somebody's never been a head coach in the NFL before to project how they're going to do. So if you can find somebody who's a proven winner, I absolutely would be fine with it. There's precedent for it before. The Raiders sent John Gruden to the Buccaneers prior to the 2002 season. Of course, the Jets, way back when, got Bill Parcells from the Patriots by giving up draft picks. And then a couple years later, the Jets sent Bill Belichick to New England for draft picks. So there certainly is precedent for it in the league. In fact, if I recall, actually, the Jets got a draft pick in exchange for Herman Edwards when Herm Edwards went to Kansas City. So, yeah, look, I don't know who the guy would be, but if there is somebody out there with that stature of like Andy Reid or Sean Payton, it's not going to be either of them, I don't think. But if you have somebody along those lines with that type of track record, absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's anything you could draft with those picks that would be more valuable than a head coach who can come in and do a good job. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Mailbag Wednesday. Our next question. If the head coach of the Jets was Andy Reid and he had the current Jets roster, what three things would he do differently from Adam Gase on offense? I would say, first of all, you'd see more complex pre-snap motions. Second of all, you'd see more of a commitment to run pass options, and third, you would see more misdirection to try and use defenders' aggressiveness against them. I think when you see an Andy Reid offense, one of the things that they do is they put stress on the defense. When you put lots of motions in, it forces the defense to communicate. It forces them to change their alignments, and sometimes you get busts in coverage. The run-pass options put defenders in conflict because every defender has an assignment against a run play and a pass play, so it allows the quarterback to read whether a certain defender is playing his run assignment or his pass assignment. If he's playing the pass assignment, you hand the ball off. If he's playing his run assignment, there should be a window to throw it into. And misdirection, again, uses defenders' aggressiveness against them. They may send guys one way, the ball goes the other way, and you can open up lanes. So I think this would be a much better designed offense with Andy Reid. That is the boldest statement of the year. An Andy Reid offense is better designed than an Adam Gase offense. Our next question is about Rex Ryan. What are your thoughts on the Bring Back Rex Ryan campaign? Isn't it ludicrous? And I was not even aware that there was a Bring Back Rex Ryan campaign. I get why people want it, because those early years with Rex were really special, and I think Rex will always have a special place in this franchise's history, but I do not think he would be the right guy for the New York Jets right now. If you look at what things the Jets need, they need somebody who can develop young talent. They need somebody who understands how to build an offense. They need these are just not things Rex was good at. And you look at Rex's recent track record. His last 6 years as an NFL head coach, he missed the playoffs after a really good start. If you look at his defense, I know Rex comes in with a great defensive reputation. I'm not sure his defense works anymore in today's NFL. He hasn't coached in 4 years, and those years in Buffalo, he inherited one of the best defenses in the league, and they were kind of middle of the pack. Again, this is nothing against Rex's time with the Jets, especially those first 2 years, because those were two great years, but I don't think he can replicate what he did. And I think you see this all the time in sports. When you try and recreate the glory years, it usually doesn't work. You need to look forward. You need to find the next head coach. You need to find the next great coach. Typically what happens when you try and bring back the past, it doesn't have the same magic the second time around. So I don't think Rex Ryan should be a candidate when the Jets look for a new head coach. You can bring him back some Sunday, and you know, let him get a nice round of applause from the fans someday down the line. But I don't think he should coach the Jets at this point in time. I don't think he should coach the Jets again. Next question. Head coach Gase showed some elements of adapting to the strength of his roster with multiple tight end sets, adding some elements of modern misdirection concepts. Berrios had a few fake jet sweeps, and he even dialed up a trick play, Malone's end around. Should I be encouraged? Now, I want to make it clear that I love all of my listeners and I respect all of my listeners. But I feel like we may have watched two different games if you saw an offense that adapted to its strengths on Sunday, if you saw an offense that used any degree of creativity. In this offense, or at least the one we saw on Sunday against the 49ers, Razzle Dazzle was running Frank Gore off tackle. This offense put up really 6 points. I know they scored a late touchdown on a nice Darnold play, but the game was over at that point. This was an offense that did pretty much nothing on Sunday, and I don't think they – I mean, there are, in Gase's defense, there are not many strengths on this offensive personnel, especially with all the injuries, but the answer was not giving the ball to Frank Gore 15 times. I know I'm repeating myself over and over and over on this, but it's just that important. I don't know what the answers are for the Jets on offense, but it is not running Frank Gore into the middle of the line 15 times in one half. I did not see any sort of creativity. I did not see any attempt to utilize the talent the Jets had on offense. I was not even remotely encouraged by what I saw from the coaching staff on Sunday. I thought it was a terribly coached game by the Jets. I say that with all respect to my listeners, but I would have to disagree with that assessment. Next question is from Brett. If the Jets are going to fire Gase and start another rebuild this offseason, what current players on the team do you see as part of that rebuild? Who are our foundational pieces going forward? In other words, if the Jets of the future are a winning team, what current players do you see making major contributions to that team? And you know, Brett, as critical as I was of Mike Maccagnan during his time here, I think that I may have not been critical enough, because this roster is even worse than I thought it was. This situation is even. I gave Mike Maccagnan too much credit, I think, because I thought this. I did not think the situation was as bad as it really was. Somehow, there just are not many pieces on this team that are going to be major contributors on the next good Jets team. I think you're hoping Quinnen Williams that Sunday was a sign of things to come. Mekhi Becton through two games, and it's only two games, but looks very promising. He's ahead of where I thought he'd be right now. So that's promising, but you know, there's a reason this team is 0-2 and has been uncompetitive. There are lots of reasons, and one of them is just the complete lack of talent on this football team. You certainly hope Denzel Mims. Now, people are being way too hard on Denzel Mims. We're two games into his career, and I know he's been injured, but I think it's a little bit early to write Denzel Mims off. So, you know, those are some guys who come to mind, and you know, who knows what's going to happen with Darnold at this point. But there are not a lot of pieces that are there right now. And that's one of the problems the Jets have, is that they're really kind of starting from scratch because of how bad their drafting has been. And not just Maccagnan. If you go back, John Idzik, I mean, these are the John Idzik years. Those draft picks are players who should be trusted veterans right now, guys who are bringing stability to the team. Instead, we have pretty much nobody who was drafted by Idzik on this football team. So, yeah, that's one of the issues. And maybe, you know, 5 years from now, we'll hear Mekhi Becton and Quinnen Williams talk about what things were like when they got here, and talk about how they were proud to be part of the turnaround. Because right now, the Jets don't really have a whole lot. I mean, there really are not many guys on this team. I'd say those would be the names that come to mind. There really are not many players on this team where you look at and you say, they're going to be here in 3-4 years when the Jets are good. That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening, and thanks to everybody who sent in your questions. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy our show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.